Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. The morning crew, Justice and Drew, have stepped aside for the seventh year now to allow us to do a Memorial Day special live show. And Andrew, John, and Miss Sam will be back tomorrow morning. So tune them in for all that information and fun and games and their normal programming tomorrow. But today we're talking about Memorial Day. And we've got a special guest in the studio for the third hour, my co-host, who is the commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, Brigadier General John Jensen. Sir, welcome back to the studio.
Good morning, Tom. Great to be with you again this morning. I think this is our third or fourth year here during this hour. It's great to be with you.
It's nice to have you back here, sir. And you had a pretty important year in the past. When we saw you last year, you were dual-hatted. You were traveling to Africa, and you had a position in the headquarters for the Minnesota National Guard. And during the course of the year, you took over as the commander of the legendary 34th Infantry Red Bull Division.
That's correct. In January, Tom, I was privileged and honored to take command of the 34th Infantry Division headquarters behind Major General Neil Loydalt, my good friend Neil Loydalt. And so since January, I've been in that position, fulfilling the roles and duties of the division commander. And as a result of that position, I had to give up my U.S. Army Africa position. So March 31st of this year was my last day in service, U.S. Army Africa. But it was a great assignment. I learned a lot about the world. I learned a lot, obviously, about Africa as well as the U.S. Army. So it was a great duty position. 18 months I was able to hold that position, but I'm extremely excited and honored and privileged to be the commander of the 34th Infantry Division, especially this year as we celebrate our centennial, our 100th anniversary of being formed as a division in the United States Army.
And General, we've talked about the division many times in the last 7 years on Minnesota Military Radio, including the fact that in World War II, no other unit served more days in frontline combat than our Minnesota's own Red Bulls.
That's right, Tom. We like to believe it's 611 days, which narrowly defeats our friends to the east, Wisconsin, and the 32nd Infantry Division. They fought in the Pacific Theater. We fought in the European Theater, as you know. But, yeah, there's a little controversy between us and Wisconsin. Can you imagine that? Well, you know, it goes way back, even before the Packers and Vikings. So, but we claim the title at 611 days.
Little gentle ribbing besides the cheeseheads. If Colonel Vodder was here, we'd be getting into Vikings and Packers, but we don't need to do those things this morning.
So. Well, you know, Matt has a residency here in Minnesota, so when it comes to the 34th and the 32nd, he is going to have to claim the 34th.
Now, General, you've been in the military for quite a few years, and there's a lot of really important names that came before you as division commanders. But I wonder, with all that experience and all the people you've gotten to know in your service to the country, who or what do you think about on Memorial Day, sir?
Well, for me, you know, Memorial Day kind of takes on its own special meaning. You know, depending on where I am, what I'm doing. I mean, obviously, when you're deployed, it's a very intense time, especially if you've taken losses. This year, though, as mentioned in your previous segment, this year, I think in part because of the timing and because of the event, Fireman Third Class Gladen Iverson from Emmons, Minnesota. He was our Pearl Harbor casualty, whose remains were just returned back to Minnesota. He was a member of the Navy and was killed aboard the USS Oklahoma during the attack on Pearl Harbor. And so he was just recently returned to Minnesota, returned to his family and his community. And so this year, you know, Fireman Third Class Iverson's kind of in my thoughts.
And that's we had a lot of people, unfortunately, at Pearl Harbor. And we've had the Minnesota Patriot Guard on the Minnesota Military Radio Show every few weeks, and they said that was one of the missions that was very touching, to get him returned home to family and find some closure and make sure that they treated that with honor, dignity, and respect.
You know, Tom, I've had the opportunity a couple times to support events like that, where we brought home World War II vets from Europe or the Pacific Theater. And I think it's not just the time, but also the distance. And so when you're able to bring someone back home to their community from that time period, from the Pacific Theater, the European Theater. It is incredibly moving and touching, because many times these veterans are returned and you know, there's obviously their parents have passed, their siblings have passed, and now you're two generations away from the actual service member. And just to see how the family, you know, rallies around that, it is very special and moving. And we have, from what I understand, we'll have another Pearl Harbor veteran be returned later this summer to Minnesota. Recently, a casualty was identified positively. So later this summer, there'll be another Pearl Harbor veteran returned.
And we'll follow that on Minnesota Military Radio and give more reports on that. General, we've got about 3 or 4 minutes, so we have to take a break. But you have the Minnesota National Guard, and the division has people deployed around the world.
Yeah, Tom, we're just right now in the process of returning 2nd Battalion, 135th Infantry, from their mission in the Sinai back to Minnesota. It's going on right now, so we anxiously return the approximately 300 soldiers from that battalion that are coming back to Minnesota. We have the MP company in Gitmo right now that's currently deployed there. We recently returned the 682nd Engineer Battalion earlier this year. And so we're still deploying units. We're still deploying soldiers. As of, I think, last week, maybe 2 weeks ago, we had about 400 soldiers that were currently deployed. And we have some more on the horizon that will come. So while some people may think that the war in Afghanistan is winding down or the war in Iraq, we've left, that's really not the case. We continue to support those activities and other activities across the world. And so the reserve component, the Minnesota National Guard, we remain an operational force, and we continue to prepare our soldiers and our airmen as well for deployments overseas, whether that's in support of an operation or something like the European Readiness Initiative, where we're sending part of our 1st Brigade to the Baltics region and to Sweden this summer as part of a U.S. European Command, U.S. Army Europe training initiative. And that's just to remind our friends to the east there, the Russians, that Europe is still very important to the United States, and we remain committed to the defense of Europe.
And, sir, we've had some of your soldiers on the Minnesota Military Radio Show recently, as we do every year. And they talked to us about the fact that they can load up all their equipment at Camp Ripley in the middle of Minnesota and ship it out and ship it over to Europe and participate in those training exercises and ship it all the way back home and get it ready to go for the next mission. The Red Bulls are really at the top of the training rotation, and your readiness status is tremendous, isn't it?
Yeah, our across the entire division, our 1st Brigade is we believe, and the statistics show, the most ready brigade in the Army National Guard, and one of the most ready brigades in the United States Army. Our Aviation Brigade, the same way, the most ready Aviation Brigade in the Army Guard, and one of the most ready across the Army, as is our division. And so we're very proud of that. We worked extremely hard to attain that and maintain that. So we're very proud of that.
And your reward for that is more duty, sir, more training.
Yeah, that's the good news, bad news. Good news is we're ready. The bad news is when you're ready, the Army likes to use you. But that's okay. We know that going in. And the Minnesota way is to be the best. And so we're working hard to achieve that.
General, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about our Gold Star families on Memorial Day. This is a special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. The Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. We're sitting in for Justice and Drew in the morning. Andrew, John, and Miss Sam will be back tomorrow with their regular programming. And this edition of this Memorial Day broadcast is brought to you by Flags for the Fallen Military, Federal Premium Ammunition, and Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. You can find more information online at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. And, of course, I'm Tom Lyons. I'm the host of Minnesota Military Radio, which can be heard Sunday mornings at 7 right here on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130, and online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. Our special co-host for this last hour of this Memorial Day special is the commanding general of the 34th Infantry Division, Red Bulls, Brigadier General John Jensen. General, it's great to see you again. We seem to have a steady date every year, the last hour of the Memorial Day show, to come on and talk about what Memorial Day means and the difference between that and Veterans Day, which, of course, on Memorial Day, we remember the fallen, where on Veterans Day, we think about all those who have served. And, sir, anyone really special in the division that you think about? I was wearing today my General Vesey shirt. He's been a heck of a leader in Minnesota and across the country, and, of course, the 10th chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And he was just an inspiration when he was on the show.
Yeah, he was a great Red Bull, a great American, a great Minnesotan. And we miss him already. I know his family were recently honored at Fort Sill, where they memorialized a building in his name, because he was an artilleryman, originally was an artillery soldier and then officer. And so down at Fort Sill. So it's just not here in Minnesota that we're proud of General Vesey, but across the United States Army, they're equally as proud of General Vesey. And so, as I said, your shirt you're wearing there is from the Association United States Army. The local chapter here is the General John Vesey chapter. And on 14 June, Flag Day and the United States Army's birthday, I'll get the opportunity and the privilege to address that chapter as part of their Army birthday celebration.
He was quite a leader and a national treasure, served 46 years in the Army and went from an E-1 enlisted soldier to a 4-star general and chairman of the Joint Chiefs. And even after that, he served 6 years tracking down the killed in action and missing in action in Vietnam. Talk about service to country, my goodness.
Yeah, exactly what you said there, Tom, in terms of service to his country. And he never stopped. I mean, I know that he advised Army Chiefs of Staff right up until the end. And so they would seek him out for his advice. I know here in the Minnesota Guard as well, we saw it every opportunity we could to pick his brain a little bit. He was an incredibly talented man and a very giving man, as you mentioned.
And one of the people I remember on Memorial Day, sir. Although we have a special guest joining us now from Survivor Outreach Services. Survivor Outreach Services is the official Army program designed to provide long-term support to surviving families of fallen soldiers. And Gail Springboard is with us. Gail, good morning.
Good morning, Tom and General Jensen.
Good morning.
Gail, can you tell us a little more about Survivor Outreach Services and our Gold Star families?
Sure. You know, as I was on hold, I was listening to the Pionk story of their son, Matthew. And man, if that doesn't put it into perspective when you start hearing directly from the families who've lost their loved one, because so many of them are young men and women. But Survivor Outreach Services was formed in 2007 by a Gold Star widow, a woman who lost her husband while he was serving on active duty in Iraq. And back in 2007 and early in the war in Iraq, the casualty assistance was in place but needed to be a lot stronger for the families. In her case, she'd been a military spouse, active duty military spouse, for about 23 years and had two elementary age children when her husband was killed. And so the Army wanted to create a way to help families, surviving families, transition through the loss of this hero in their life who'd served and did all this training. And as General Jensen was saying, all of the time you spend staying ready and the family continues on being a military family. And so the Army created Survivor Outreach Services. So we walk alongside the family as long as they desire. And especially for the widows and children, we want to make sure that their benefits are in place and the milestones for benefits are transitioned easily. And so we have the privilege and honor of getting to know all these mothers and fathers and sisters and brothers and spouses and children of our Minnesota families whose loved one died on active duty. And here in Minnesota, there's about 600 homes that have family members that fall into that Gold Star category just since 9/11.
Gail, just to clarify, the term Gold Star comes from World War II. And to be a Blue Star family was to have someone who was serving, but to be a Gold Star family meant that you lost a loved one in service to the country.
That's correct. Lost a loved one who was actively serving in the military. So their soldier or their Marine, sailor, they were on active duty status when they died. And then that Blue Star becomes a Gold Star.
Gail, this is Brigadier General Jensen. Just a quick clarification on the Survivor Outreach Services. Is this for the Army service only? Do other service families fall under this program?
Well, here's the great thing about the Army. Even though the Army has this great program in place for their own surviving family members, their mandate to us is to serve all. So the other branches of service have their casualty operations programs, but none of them have been created to the extent of the Army's. And part of that reason is because of the National Guard. Because of the National Guard in every state and counties all across the United States and even in our territories, we're able to put people like me in armories and actually have feet on the ground where you don't see people from the Navy, Air Force, and Marines that nearby. So we are supporting as much as possible all branches of military. And so if there are other branches of Gold Star family members who hear this radio program and say, I need to be a part of that community, we absolutely would love to include them.
No, that's great to know, Gail, and I do know that family members of other services do listen to the show. If you could just explain a little bit, because you said that you have a physical presence in an armory, where you're located, if there is a family out there that maybe needs some outreach service support, how do they get a hold of you?
Yeah, in Minnesota, we have three support coordinators. That's what we call our role. And I am located in Albert Lea. That's at the corner of Interstate 90 and I-35. So I'm pretty much handling everything in the southern part of Minnesota. And then Rick Jackson is at the Arden Hills Training Center, and he covers most of the metro area. And Roman Balderas is up at the Brainerd Armory, and he's covering northern Minnesota. The beautiful thing is that we have coworkers all over the world. Wherever there is an active duty base, we've got somebody working. And so if there's a Marine family that's traveling to Italy in the near future and they need some support while they're there, we'll help.
Gail, this is Tom again. We've learned on our show that a lot of people are uncomfortable around the Gold Star family members, but they really shouldn't be because they want to tell the story of their loved one, don't they?
Absolutely. We need to remember those loved ones. As I mentioned earlier, we're talking mostly about very young men and women. A lot of these young men and women join the military. They do everything that they're asked to do. They go everywhere they're asked to go, and they're willing to die for that. They're willing to die for our freedoms, and we need to honor that and remember that. We have what we have, we live the life we live here in America on the lives of these young men and women. And to recognize the Gold Star family, one of the ways that you can identify them, in Minnesota, our license plates, a lot of the families will buy a Gold Star license plate, but they also wear a little pin, and they get that at the funeral of their loved one. So if you see a family member wearing a tiny little pin with a gold star in the center, if it has a purple background, their loved one died in an area of combat. If it has a gold background, their loved one died outside an area of combat. It includes all causes of death in many locations all over the world, but it is a way to identify that family and to say, can you tell me about your hero? I would love to hear that story.
Gail, I want to thank you for joining us today on Memorial Day.
You're welcome.
We are just about out of time. Gail, thanks for calling in. That was Gail Springboard from Survivor Outreach Services on our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we'll speak with the United States Senator. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Justice and Drew, Andrew, John, and Miss Sam will be back tomorrow morning. But today we're talking about Memorial Day, and my special co-host this hour is the commander of the 34th Infantry Division Red Bulls, Brigadier General John Jensen. And General, we have a special guest on the phone today, United States Senator Amy Klobuchar, who is the first woman elected to represent the state of Minnesota in the United States Senate. Senator Klobuchar, welcome to the show.
Well, thanks, Tom. It's great to be on, and thanks to the Brigadier General as well. It's an honor to be on this very, very important and solemn day.
Senator, you've been on with us for a few years now, and I know Memorial Day is a busy day for you. Are you going to a few events today?
Well, yes. I'll be at the Fort Snelling event. I don't think I've hardly ever missed it. And as you know, that's a very big event, and that scene of all of the tombstones and the graves going for miles just really hits home the sacrifices so many have made. And then the family members, and it gives you an opportunity to have that 1 hour where everyone reflects on those that made the sacrifice for us. And then I'm going to go to some of our smaller towns, which I think is equally important, Chanhassen, Buffalo, Litchfield, and meet with veterans and take part in the Chanhassen ceremony.
So another busy day.
Yes. Well, it's part of my job, but this is a day that every time I go out on Memorial Day, I hear stories that I didn't know before. And I think one of the ones that's really gotten attention in Minnesota was the story of the remains of Mr. Iverson, who's been killed in Pearl Harbor, and that he came back years later to Emmons, Minnesota. And those are the things that really make people, you think of young kids that don't know anything about Pearl Harbor, but when they hear the story in the news again, it reminds them of our heroes. And I think that's really important part of Memorial Day, is to tell those stories. And then the other thing I'm going to talk about today at Fort Snelling is just how, in addition to remembering those we've lost, this is also about honoring them by how we treat the soldiers who followed them. And one of the things I've been working on is the burn pit issue with Republican Senator Tom Tillis in North Carolina, that they've got, as you know, a lot of active duty bases. And we've been working on this issue because we've seen so many people come home that have gotten very sick from being serving next to or working next to burn pits in Iraq and Afghanistan.
Senator, we've been kind of fortunate here in Minnesota. The Minneapolis VA healthcare system is rated among the highest in the country, and we have them on Minnesota Military Radio quite often. They seem to be doing a terrific job as opposed to some of the other locations around the United States.
Exactly, and they've been known as their expertise in traumatic brain injuries, which, as we know, is a signature injury of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. And then the other thing about, I was over there in the last year, and they have done some great research on the areas that I'm looking at, like the Agent Orange and Gulf War syndrome, and now we're pushing on this burn pit issue to get a Center for Excellence set up nationally with the VA. Because we have a registry going now, and we've had so many people that have registered and experienced problems. And one of the saddest cases is a woman named Amy Muller, who served in Iraq, and she was located next to one of the most notorious burn pits. And she came home to her husband and three children, husband Brian, and has three children that she's left now. She sadly died of stage 3 pancreatic cancer. And there is a clear link to me when you look at all the number of cancer cases that have come home. And so we're going to continue to push on this to at least get to the bottom of it sooner than we did with Agent Orange.
Senator, this is Brigadier General Jensen. I know another issue that you've been very active on working on behalf of Minnesotans is to ensure that our reserve component members have equal benefits when compared to our active component service members. If you could talk about that a little bit.
Well, sure. There's a lot of work going on in that now. And when you think about in the last decades, the Guard and Reserve served right alongside active duty have nearly the same duties all the time. And so gradually we've done things like got a four-star general that's instead of in charge of the National Guard on the Joint Chiefs of Staff. We have done more with the benefits. And Congressman Klein, former Congressman Klein, and I did a lot in that area. And the bills that we have now are things that I've been hearing from our Guard and Reserve for a long time. One is when they go to training, how they get reimbursed. There's mileage requirements that make no sense. And so I've introduced a bill with, again, Senator Tillis of North Carolina on that. We have some other bills about access to health care that Senator Grassley of Iowa, you see a lot of rural senators working on these issues because, as we know, there's a higher percentage of military that come from rural areas. And this is about the kind of facilities and medical facilities that they have access to in rural areas. And then finally, and this one just, I just couldn't believe this. So this is Senator Collins of Maine. She and I introduced a bill that I'm leading about kids of our military when they go to school, because they have a lot of parents that are going back and forth and leaving. Sometimes they need a little extra help at school to talk through that. And they excluded Guard and Reserve kids from that bill. And so we have a new bill that includes Guard and Reserve kids with a number of senators on, and it's a bipartisan bill. So it's just a few examples where a lot of times Guard and Reserve don't get treated with the respect they deserve. And so we fight that fight every day on their behalf.
And we really appreciate that, Senator. I know in the Army we say, you know, the strength of our nation is our Army. The strength of our Army is our soldiers. And the strength of our soldiers is our family. And so, you know, anything that we can do to support the families of our service members and our veterans is really critical, as you explained, especially in these rural areas where there aren't a lot of, you know, institutional support mechanisms.
Well, and that was really the whole idea of Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, which Governor Plenty and now General Shalito was then heading up our Minnesota National Guard and is now our Veterans Commissioner, and then later General Nash took it on, and Governor Dayton was a longtime supporter. And the idea here, and we've brought this out since I've been in the Senate, I've worked on bringing it out nationally, the idea is when they come home to a small town, they don't have the kind of service that you might have. While they have a support network of their friends and families, they don't have the kind of network of people that you have on an active duty base. So that's why we started Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, to bring people together so they can talk through, how's it going getting a job? How's it going if you want to go back to school? Are you having mental health issues? And that's a lot easier sometimes to talk about with the people that you've served with.
Senator, this is Tom again. We've only got about a minute and a half left here, but I know one of your issues has been to fight to end veteran homelessness. And here in Minnesota, Major General Neil Leuthold just took over MACV, Minnesota Assistance Council for Veterans. And I know that you and he have been working on that issue.
Well, we have, and he's a great leader. And this has been improving, but we have to do a better job. And the last people that should be without a home are those that have served our country so everyone else can keep their own homes. So what we've done is we've looked at, okay, in urban areas there's more shelters and places to go, and clearly there's a number of homeless people, both veterans and non-veterans. But sometimes in our mid-sized city and our rural areas, we have some real issues. And so one of the things has been to give vouchers so that they can use those for other care facilities in areas that may not have as big of a vets population. The other thing is, of course, the mental health issue and helping our veterans to get the care that they need. And that's been a real priority and can be one of the causes of homelessness.
Senator, thanks for taking time to join us this morning. I hope you get to Fort Snelling in time for that at 10 o'clock, and that you have a great day.
And I just hope it doesn't rain. I guess we'll all be prepared, because that's our motto. We'll be ready.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Bye.
As United States Senator Amy Klobuchar on our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio on Twin Cities News Talk, AM 1130. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to our special Memorial Day edition of Minnesota Military Radio. Broadcast is brought to you by Flags for Fallen Military, Federal Premium Ammunition, and the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Find more information online at TwinCitiesNewsTalk.com. Now, General, this is our last segment. I don't know where these 3 hours go or this last hour goes, but they seem to go quick, sir.
Tom, as I said just a couple of minutes ago, it's like speed dating with you in my hour here. You know, you got to get in, you got to get your points made, and you got to get out of the way because you keep driving this thing fast and furious.
Well, sir, we got our next date on the line, and it's Doug Bly. Good morning, Doug.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing? I don't like to think of dating you, though.
from the flag line of the Minnesota Patriot Guard, Doug Bly. Doug, I know you've got your riders out there busy today. What are they doing?
You know, really, three events today, Tom. We're at Fort Snelling National Cemetery. We're standing a flag line for that event. We are doing a flag line at the Minneapolis Veterans Home. And then we're also doing a flag line at the Silver Bay VA Home. Busy weekend. We're at Fort Snelling Chapel yesterday, the new Preston Cemetery, and then the Veterans Cemetery up at Camp Ripley as well.
And you just put out an announcement on your page saying that these events are coming up and your riders show up.
You know, Tom, you know, bless Minnesotans and bless the Patriots who are here to help pay honor, dignity, and respect to our veterans and active military members, but most importantly today, those who made the ultimate sacrifice.
Well, Doug, I'd like to say bless the Minnesota Patriot Guard as well. You guys and gals are always there for us. We really appreciate it. Specific, though, shout out to David Winkler, who I know is a member of the Patriot Guard. He was just recently recognized as the military hero here in Minnesota for the Red Cross chapter. Congratulations to David as well as to the Patriot Guard for that recognition.
Well, thank you, General. Appreciate the shout out. And Dave is a fabulous long-term member. I've known Dave since my first mission 11 years ago.
And Doug, for our weekday listeners for this morning show, your missions are for departure ceremonies, welcome home ceremonies. You go to funerals for our veterans, and you go to about 500 of them a year.
It is, Tom, and it's, you know, a lot of different things to support, you know, the military efforts, and that's really what the mission scope is. You know, we honor line of duty death as well for law enforcement, which is a big deal. And, you know, it's really just about making sure that never happens again what's happened to those who are serving.
Doug, we'll appreciate you joining us today. We've got to keep moving. We're almost done with the show, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Tom. Thank you, General.
You're welcome.
General, we've got a very special guest joining us now is Governor Mark Dayton. Governor, good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Governor, how are you doing on this Memorial Day?
Well, I'm ready to go over to Fort Snelling for a, you know, the service there, which is always a very powerful remembrance, especially looking at all the crosses that are lined up in Fort Snelling with veterans who've served our country so well.
Governor, we appreciate that support at Fort Snelling for that ceremony. It really means a lot to service members and families when our elected officials take time for their day and honor our service members.
Well, that is what our day is, Memorial Day is for. So I'm honored to be part of the program, and I promise to be brief.
Governor, you've had a busy session, and I know that you've been a big supporter of the Minnesota National Guard and education benefits for our National Guard members. Have you recovered from the session yet, sir?
I'm glad it's over. Yes, I've recovered. I went, you know, I'm glad that we got it resolved, and I'm glad there's not going to be a shutdown showdown with getting to the end of June and you know the specter of a state government shutdown as we had in 2011. So I'm greatly relieved that it's been concluded, and yes, there was, you know, great bipartisan support. The legislature approved $8.4 million for military tuition and enlistment bonuses to encourage our servicemen and women to pursue their higher education, and ties in with the state and federal GI system to encourage their continuing their education.
Governor, we appreciate that support from you and the legislators as well, because, you know, as I say, military service is all about opportunity, and that tuition assistance greatly supports opportunities. One of the unique things that you do, though, Governor, I'd like to bring up is your service on the Council of Governors. Since 2015, you've served on the Council of Governors. If you could just talk real quickly in terms of how that body supports our Homeland Security, our National Guard, and other entities.
Well, it's 10 governors who, as part of the National Governors Association, so it's a bipartisan group, and we meet regularly with the Secretary of Defense, the Secretary of Homeland Security, and other top military and national defense individuals to just survey the situation, make our suggestions for how the states can be constructively involved with the federal government in protecting our citizens. And it's I'm much to my delight, President Trump reappointed me, so I'll be able to serve the last 2 years of my term as governor to be a member of that group.
Governor, this is Tom again. Can you tell me, how has Memorial Day impacted your life? Is there someone special you think about on this day?
Well, I think about, as governor of Minnesota, I think of all the men and women who gave their lives. I remember twice I've stood on the beach of Normandy and stood on the shore and gazed at those heavily entrenched German bunkers facing the incredibly courageous soldiers who stepped off of onto that beach, and so many of them, killed or maimed, and just tried to fathom the amount of courage it took to take those steps, and then going over to the U.S. cemetery nearby with over 10,000. White crosses all lined up in perfect rows, and they're asked to remain silent during that visit, which most people do, and so the power of the silence is really overwhelming. And so I'm reminded today that, that over a million Americans have given their lives in combat to protect the freedoms that all the rest of us enjoy.
Governor, my generation of service members is obviously the OIF, OEF generation, and since 2003, across the country, we've lost almost 7,000 service members in both Iraq and Afghanistan. Here in Minnesota, almost 100, I think the current count is 98 service members have lost their life in support of those two operations. To possibly any of the families from those 98 service members that are listening, what would be your message to them today?
General, it's, no words can convey the depth of sorrow that we all feel. I've attended almost all of those services or funerals. They're the most painful parts of my job as governor, to look in the faces of family members, parents, spouses, children, often young children, barely comprehending what's happened. It's just awful beyond words. And to the families and loved ones and friends of those who made that supreme sacrifice, my heart goes out to you today. All of Minnesota embraces you today and thanks you, although that word is very inadequate, for the incredible sacrifice that you have made, as well as your loved one, for the loss of someone in the prime of life, and all the fun and recreational activities and everything else that you could have enjoyed together. It's just a profound sacrifice you made, and we're forever in your debt.
Governor, this is Tom. We're out of time. I appreciate your calling in each year, and thank you for going out to Fort Snelling this morning.
Thank you, General. Tom, have a good Memorial Day.
Thank you, Governor.
Sir. This is Governor Mark Dayton. General, we're almost out of time. We've got about a minute left. Have you got any final thoughts for us on this special day?
Well, we're very appreciative of all the support that we receive across the state here in Minnesota. It really is unique here in Minnesota, or I believe it's very unique. I try to bring in something every year for you, Tom, to contemplate maybe over today as well as the rest of the year. And And what I brought in today is how Calvin Coolidge, upon his nomination as the vice president nominee at the Republican convention in the summer of 1920, said this. He said, "The nation which forgets its defenders will itself be forgotten." And I think that's very important to remember on Memorial Day, as we remember those who have given their life in service of their country, so we can enjoy all the freedoms and liberties that we have in this great country. And so all of our Minnesotans that are out there supporting these events, who support our service members, our families throughout the year, not just today, but throughout the year, I'd like to give you my sincere appreciation and thanks.
General, thanks for joining us again this year. It's a pleasure having you in the studio. For all of our listeners out there, I'd like to ask you to remember their National Moment of Remembrance, which was at 3 o'clock local time today. Take a moment from your activities and just think about all of those who have died in service to our nation and pray for peace. As we leave you today, we're going to leave you with a special edition of Taps that was recorded in the studio by a friend of the Minnesota Patriot Guard. Thank you and have a great Memorial Day.